When the disciples hear Jesus prophesy about the destruction of the temple, they immediately ask him when it will be, and they want to see a sign. Jesus would then go on to give them a lengthy answer. He says, before the end, there will be uprisings and wars, earthquakes, plagues, and famine. Persecution will come. It's imminent. And it will even come from family members. Some will even be put to death. The temple will be crushed as Jerusalem is surrounded by enemies. Jesus' prophecy regarding the temple would come true. We know this from history. Shortly following Jesus' ascent to the Father, to take his place at the Father's right hand, the powerful Roman military would descend upon the holy city and destroy that precious, adorned temple of the Jews. As for the persecution of God's people, we know it has happened, is happening, and it will happen. Wars go on, rumors swirl, earthquakes, plagues, and famine are really part of everyday life. These are your signs. These are your signs the end is coming. And so from this, we could rightly conclude that already we are living in the last days. But you know what? A guy named Martin Luther thought the same thing. He too thought the time was at hand, that the end was near, and get this, his description of 16th century German society sounds eerily similar to our own. Imagine that, right? That a 16th century Christian and a 21st century Christian would look at their surroundings and conclude that we are living in the last days need not surprise us. The truth is, Christians are always living in the end times. We're always living with the prospect of Jesus coming today, and that perspective, the perspective that Jesus could come at any moment, is important for us to have. Why? Because it keeps us awake. God could come at any moment, even today, and we don't want to be caught drunk and drowsy when he does. So, dear Christians, stay awake. Stay vigilant. Keep your eyes open. Now, the response of the disciples is not recorded in Holy Writ, but I would suspect they got more than they bargained for in Jesus' answer. All around us, we see the signs as creation groans under sin and God's enemies war against his church. However, before Jesus expounds upon wars, persecutions, and Jerusalem's demise, he tells his disciples these words. He says, quote, "See that you are not led astray." Another translation of that phrase could be simply, "Do not be deceived." One of the characteristics of the old Adam is pride. Why do I bring that up? Well, with pride, we think we're really strong, don't we? We think we're mighty people, but the reality is we're not. We all think we're at least a little stronger than we really are, and so a convenient reaction to Jesus' words, "Do not be deceived," a convenient reaction would be, "Ah, well, he's not talking to me. I'm too smart," or, "I've been Lutheran way too long to fall away from the faith now." Are you sure? Let's not overlook that Jesus is saying this to his disciples. His disciples saw firsthand Jesus do miracles like giving sight to the blind, raising the dead. They were the best catechized people on the face of the planet. Why? Because they sat at the feet of God incarnate himself and they heard him teach. And yet Jesus tells them, "Do not be deceived." If he says this to his disciples, what does that say about us? At the very least, it says we need to pay close attention. See that no one leads you astray. See that no one and no thing pulls you from Christ and his gospel and his holy word that says to all of you, do not be terrified. Riots, wars, unrest, this stuff's going to happen until the end of time. Don't let it scare you. Don't be terrified. Jesus is clear, crystal clear. Yes, wars will happen. Unrest will happen. There will be tumults. Don't be afraid. So whenever the so-called prophets on TV, that I know you never watch, right? When they try to scare people with their predictions, we know immediately they're full of hot air. Why? Because Christ does not call his children to fear the things of the world. We're not called to fear this world. And when someone says bad things are coming down the pipe to instill fear in you, you know what you should say? Yes, I already know that. God has revealed it to me. And when they look at you a little puzzled, just say, yes, he's revealed it to me. In God's holy word, we hear from the words of Jesus right here in Holy Scripture. There is your revelation, friends. But as strong as Jesus' warning is about the end, he also comforts us. He continues to turn us to his mercy, and he confirms for us his promise that no matter how decadent, no matter how dangerous the world is or becomes, your salvation is intact with him. Forgiveness in Christ is always certain. It is not a maybe. And his love is unending, and you have it all because of him and his work of going to the cross, paying for every single one of your sins by his death and blood. Do not be led astray from this. Do not turn from this. If someone tries to scare you and rob you of your certainty in Christ, then this is not a spirit of God, our Lord, who says to his children, do not be terrified. Don't be afraid, because your Savior has you in his hands, and he is not letting go. Now, I did chuckle to myself a little bit because this reading about unrest and chaos and wars and stuff comes on the heels of a presidential election that was anything but peaceful. This election was the craziest that I've seen in my lifetime, and during the time leading up to the election, there was plenty of fear and foreboding surrounding both candidates. Now that another man is in the office, there is still plenty of unrest in the nation. Even if we're at least a little glad the election season has come to a close, dire predictions about what's going to happen abound, and it's all too easy to read the news and be uncertain about the future. But friends in Christ, let us breathe easy. God's word is clear to say there is nothing new under the sun. And the stuff that we're experiencing in our nation at the present time isn't anything the Lord Jesus Christ has not graciously addressed in his holy word. The world does teeter and totter this way and that on account of sin, and the feisty serpent still slithers up to men in order to deceive them and lead them astray from Jesus. The world isn't predictable, and it never will be as long as sin and Satan exist. There will be chaos. There will be unrest. Jesus says this. But he also says to you, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. God still reigns. God still governs his church. He still protects his church, and he gives us what we need to live. That's good, because if we were to compare the Christian life to a race, it's not a sprint, is it? It's a marathon, and marathons always require a lot of endurance, which leads to the question, well, where does the endurance come from? Our Lord Jesus is not turning us to ourselves when he calls us to endurance. He's turning us to him. Endurance to live the Christian life means living every day by faith in him in a world that always seems on the verge of coming off the hinges. But Jesus calls us to faith in him for that endurance, for that patience, for that help and long suffering. Look to him in your pain and your grief. He declares unto you, you will gain your life. That's a promise, friends, that when you suffer for his name's sake, when you undergo trials and affliction in the last days before the end, Jesus has given you his word. O Christian, fear not, you will gain your life. Not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance you will live. And endurance to live before God, he gives it to you through his son Jesus. Do not be led astray from him. It does happen where people claim the name of Jesus for themselves, and yet they rely all too much on their flesh, and when pride consumes them, they end up believing they can endure by themselves in this fallen world with the use of their reason and their faculties apart from the Holy Spirit. That is very dangerous. When I speak to people who refrain from hearing preaching and receiving the sacraments, they're usually pretty quick to tell me how godly they are. They believe that their righteousness is good enough. And I have talked to many people who do not come to church, yet they do believe they are strong enough to weather the storms without getting a continual diet of hearing God's spoken word and receiving his sacraments. Dear friends in Christ, beloved ones of God, it is a deception to think you can live, survive, and endure without hearing and having the holy word of God. There's no marathon runner who will tell you you can run the entire race without a sip of water. Christ is your water, your living water. In him and by him you are washed. You are sanctified by his blood. Faith comes from hearing the words of Christ. You receive Christ when you take his body and blood into your mouth, when you receive this holy gift. When the end comes, it's not nearly as important as knowing it will come, but also how to endure the pain of this life. We confess he will come in glory, and we long for that liberation. For now, Jesus tells us to look to him, listen to him, to know your sin is put away. You are forgiven. He has done it. At his cross, where when our Lord Jesus Christ hung on the tree before a mocking crowd, there too creation groaned. The ground was stricken by an earthquake. Darkness draped over the sun. Yet the death of Jesus is an atonement covering even creation. Even the sins plaguing creation from the curse of the fall are paid for by Jesus, every single one of them. And in his name, not one hair on your head, not one will perish. The world cannot change the certain word of God. The world can pass away. God's word, his sure and certain word, does not. His word to you on this day is that you live, Christian. In him, death has no say. In him, life eternal is yours. And so for now, we long for his coming. We look forward to that redemption. And we know that when he does come, it shall be a day not of sadness for his people, not a day of fear. When our Lord comes again, my friends, it is a day of joy, a day of liberation, a day of happiness, a day of delight, a day on which Jesus tells you, straighten up and hold your heads high, because your redemption is drawing near. Therefore, I conclude with this. We have plenty of reason to be optimistic, to be joyful, to have a smile on our face. We have every reason to rejoice and be glad because of who we are in Christ and what he has done for us, liberating us from the clutches of sin and death, and promising us that when he does return in glory, it will be for redemption and release from this world. So do not be afraid of this world. You will not perish, O Christian. Your Savior will make sure of it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which really does truly surpass all human understanding, may guard and keep all of your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.